This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here we go, hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time for an edition of The Finest. The MLB trade deadline is now in our rearview mirror. It just passed there at the top of the hour. And barring any late developing news, it appears that the Rangers went out and got themselves a heck of a lefty reliever, Andrew Chafin from the Tigers. He's been on quite a journey in his big league days. But he's been absolutely retiring lefties at a historic clip here for over the last month now for the Tigers, and we're excited to add him. We'll recap anything else that might be relevant coming up in the Expressway in about 20 minutes. Rangers pregame coming up in 1 hour as they're in St. Louis. Tomorrow it's a day game, by the way, 12:30 pregame and a 1 o'clock first pitch. But we're live at Cowboys training camp, and for more on football, here's the Chief with an edition of The Finest.
Yes, we had our first padded practice today here in Oxnard with the Cowboys. We have some observations to bring you, but I'm looking at videos of Daniel Jones at Giants training camp throwing the football, and I'm trying to decide if it looks more like Dawson trying to throw the football yesterday or Broadus trying to throw the football yesterday.
I was trying to do like Johnny Unitas 1940 throws.
I love your game face, yeah. Man. Your game face throwing that football was incredible.
Yeah.
Now
I can't raise my right arm if you've noticed in the video.
You
at
got
all.
The crawfish shoulder,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I do. The crawfish pot shoulder.
Yeah, we had a time here on the Cowboys practice field after the show yesterday. Messing around with the football. Brad is trying to teach me how to be a long snapper.
You did a good job.
I believe that video is actually just got punched out. So Carter is, despite all the allegations of not working, he's actually working his tail off here in the tent. He just cranked out video number one from yesterday's football field shenanigans. And we'll have more videos to come from that. True disaster. Dawson, how did you feel about your personal performance yesterday throwing that football around?
It was even worse than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I told you guys a couple of years ago, I've like lost my ability to throw a football.
Yes. I didn't believe
and,
you, but
now you add injury on top of that. I can't get my shoulder up more beyond this.
Yeah.
So I was trying to kind of whip it, and it just went into the ground. I was like, oh, my God.
I gave it to – I was
– horrible.
It was pretty incredible.
I was kind of like I was throwing a javelin. I like whole body throw is what I was trying to do. I was little Sammy Bob, like throw the hand out, you know, and – kind of sling it.
And I never had a ham cannon, right? But I could play quarterback like for the neighborhood. You
sure.
know what I'm saying? I could at least
for all
throw
those kids
where it
was
like going.
Bad yeah. ball catchers.
You were all right. You were all time quarterback in high school playing with the elementary kids. Is that what you're
Something
saying?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't fast enough to play receiver. So they're like, well, I guess
you
quarterback.
Like by default.
But I could throw it well in baseball, yeah. right?
So there you go. My goodness. There was a part of that third baseman came out of you a little bit yesterday on the field. I could see it. I could see some of that prowess. Jeez.
Short hopping?
It was generally an embarrassment across the board.
How about Heggie's punt?
It was really just a full-fledged blooper reel, and I look forward to all those videos coming out, 105.3 The Fan,
I mean,
Twitter,
I was handling the low snaps from you.
Yeah.
I did that.
That's true. Yeah. You were handling the hell out of those.
Yeah. Yeah,
man, you can handle
better than Romo.
I guess.
Much better than Romo. Yeah,
dude, I tell you, you would have put me back there.
Yeah,
they'd have beat the
slippery
that
ball.
Day.
Yeah,
I don't care how waxy or snowy that ball was.
I'll tell you what, though, it is funny to watch these videos of Daniel Jones going viral at Giants camp. He's struggling.
Is he just
mightily.
Missing?
It's like, dude, there's nothing but videos of Malik Nabers, rookie open. LSU receiver, getting wide open, and then just in frustration, not being able to find the football.
Has it been on the outside, or is it just all over?
It's all over. I mean, okay. It doesn't matter if it's a screen, a bubble, a dump off to the running back, or a deep shot down the field. Daniel Jones struggling.
Do they still have that bartender dude on the roster?
DeVito?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They said that he basically said they can't get rid of him.
This is his,
he's too damn good.
This is his Carson Wentz moment where the backup is like more beloved by the fans.
Yeah.
Put you in your own person and hell, you become the worst version of yourself. And, you know, before too long, he'll be Dunsky.
Yeah, and I don't think Brian
starting
Dable
for the Colts for a half season.
Brian Dable should not be on the hot seat here.
No.
Dealing with what he's had to deal with.
He's lost weight. He looks better, you know.
You can't really judge a coach until he's got a quarterback, though.
Well, I guess we're having...
What did he do the first year?
They went 10-6 and won a playoff game.
Yeah, with a crappy quarterback. He got the most out of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just been backwards.
It's been it was first year was good, second year was bad, but I think Dable is, I mean, whoever it is that like the general manager who's giving the contract,
Joe Shane.
Yeah, that's the guy who needs to be on the hot seat. He's the one who gave the contract to Daniel Jones.
He might be on the hot
seat.
That's
schmuck of the year, if you ask me. But Dable should not be on the hot seat. Daniel Jones struggling, though. I think that's fun to watch there on the around the NFL little clips that go on Twitter here from
around
camp
the NFL.
Camp. Yeah. Now, we also have, observations from Cowboys camp today. I mean, is there anything else? Like, I love seeing Turpin get in the mix at running back. You have Deuce Vaughn doing a lot of wide receiver things. And then, you know, the Nathaniel Pete. He's the young back with a little bit of juice.
Yeah,
hey, he's a tiny guy. He split time with EJ Smith there at Stanford,
but he's thick.
He's
tiny in height, but he's 200 pounds.
He'll pack a punch.
He had a really nice blitz pickup. We were talking about it with Will McClay, you know, when they were working on the 2-minute drills the other day. But yeah, he's an explosive little player.
Star up, a little star up, star down for me. Star up, I still think John Stevens continues to look good. He did have one drop we saw, but otherwise he's a guy that's getting open.
That guy getting up the field, sinking his hips, and then breaking to the outside for that tall of a guy is pretty impressive.
He's got some Darren Waller to his game. You know, he really can be, I think, a problem. Nealon looks fantastic. He really does. I thought Guyton had himself a hell of a day today. Tyler Smith was dominant
out there. Wanye Thomas with an interception.
Wanye was good again. I thought the linebacker room was fantastic.
As a whole,
we talked
about. Star up on the linebacker group.
Yeah. The video from Nealon doesn't show much. He just looks like a strong guy trying to bully his way to the quarterback.
He's a little bit better with the that first step quickness than what he showed at Western Michigan.
Yeah, and his ability to
move. I think that's
up
what Will McClay was talking about yesterday.
They're
starting to see a little bit more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Guyton is probably the number one takeaway, I would say, on the positive side. Mazi continuing to struggle is certainly frustrating. But the linebacker, I think the defense overall wins the day. Like, the passing attack in general, and Zimmer's dialing it up, and they're kind of rotating the younger guys there in on the offensive line, so I understand some confusion. But it's a lot of like, oh, no, we just got to dump it down to the running back here. And Zimmer bringing some heat when it comes to the pressures and disguising, and you can see these safeties moving all over the place, dude.
Yeah.
You don't know where they're going to be. Marquise Bell, he's like, oh, I'm hugged up on the line of scrimmage here. You think I'm blitzing? No, I'm not. I'm bailing out here. And Eric Kendricks is blitzing or something like that.
The ability to disguise is far different than what we saw with the Dan Quinn regime.
Maybe one of the biggest differences.
Yep.
No question.
That's Zimmer's big thing, man. And then you also had, you know, Stephen Jones talking about the contract situations. Right now the ball's in Dak's court, he says. We're waiting to hear from them, and they understand that as well. I think that is Dak understanding that maybe I think this is going to be taken through the year and up to unrestricted free agency. That is where Dak can maximize his leverage, and that is him willingly saying to himself, like, he's willing to not be a Cowboy moving forward. But getting to unrestricted free agency, and now you have bidding wars going on. We're talking about $60 million a year. That could quickly be $65 million.
Well, you just talked about the Giants, you know, in their situation.
Yeah, there's plenty of teams.
Tampa.
So yeah. I don't expect the Dak deal to get done when we're out here. I firmly expect the CeeDee Lamb deal to get done while we are out here. Apparently, Lamb and his team sent back a negotiation contract situation over the weekend, Sunday night, I believe. So we'll see how the Cowboys kind of counter that deal. But I do imagine Lamb's deal gets done. Dak's not going to get that deal done unless the Cowboys wake up and decide they're really to give him, you know, just ready to give him all the wood. I would imagine he's just waiting to unrestricted free agency, and that's where he can absolutely maximize his dollars, whether it remains here or somewhere else.
I really don't think he'd want to go, though. You know, I just think there's value in staying with the same team, and there's value in knowing how the Joneses look at you. If they don't want to move on from you, how sure are you, you know, that you're going to stick around at some other spot? You could go to one spot, be there 3 years. The next thing you know, you're on to your next spot. Now you're a journeyman veteran quarterback. You have no marketability. You have no endorsement deals. People aren't lining up to try to convince you to pitch their Dan and Yogurt commercials or whatever if you're the QB for the Minnesota Vikings or the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's so much money and value for Dak of being here. You started a family here. It is 6 hours from home here. He's not going anywhere unless the Cowboys want him gone.
Yeah, I wonder how much of just like the feeling disrespected comes into play. Now you're just standing on principles, and now you're just like, you know what? I feel, whether he's right or wrong, he feels disrespected in a way now that he's willing to do anything to sort of spite, I guess, the Cowboys in this situation.
See, I think the Cowboys are probably willing right now to do a deal somewhere between $55 and $58 million, but he and his agent are like, there's no need for us to. We want to get paid off of what it would be in 2025.
The longer you wait, it seems like that number goes up. Yeah,
we need $65 million a year right now. Why? Because that is what you'll probably end up giving us by the time we get to March. So I just think that agents have gotten really, really good, and the Cowboys refuse to actually play back in a meaningful way.
I also wonder how much he feels like he is not being helped. Does he feel like his best chance to actually win a Super Bowl is with a different team? And then you have to ask yourself, are any of those teams available in this offseason trying to get you to be their quarterback? Because it's one thing to say, yeah, I'll go to San Francisco and play quarterback, sure. But do you want to go to the Giants that are perpetually terrible as of late? Do you want to go to the Jets or the Raiders? Or
New Orleans? Are
any of those ringing true to Super Bowl to you? I don't know. But that's the only other thing that if you're Dak, you're thinking, like, man, I don't feel like I'm getting any help here. And I want to win a Super Bowl. And I feel like I could do that elsewhere.
Ask Matt Stafford that question. All those years of playing in Detroit and going nowhere.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
and you finally find a good team. And you finally find the Super Bowl in the first year.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the teams that realistically could win a championship? I think you got to look at San Francisco, at the Rams if Stafford would leave. Mm. But if you're Dak, it's like, what teams legitimately are going to give us a great chance or a significantly better chance than what we have with the Cowboys? I don't even know. I mean, obviously Kansas City, you know, but it's organizations that win the championships, and the teams that are proving that, you know, usually already have their quarterback.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. One of the interesting things that you'll see in Cincinnati right now, they threw a bunch of money at these facilities. This is Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, who's perpetually cheap. This is the Joe Burrow effect, dude. This is what happens when you get a franchise Super Bowl caliber monster that steps into your organization.
So is this going to be the Joe Burrow Hall? Did he donate money like it's like a college? Like all of a sudden it's like it's known as the Joe Burrow Dormitory?
It should be. That's exactly what it should be.
Joe Burrow Dining Hall.
If Joe Burrow never gets drafted to the Bengals and the Bengals stay one of these teams picking in the top 5 or 10 over the last half decade without Joe Burrow, I guarantee you right now we're not talking about unveiling a state-of-the-art locker room renovation that includes upgraded lockers and restroom facilities, circadian rhythm lighting that can sync to music from the new sound system, and increase Wi-Fi for better connectivity.
Oh, wow. So we actually have stalls around the commodes?
Stalls now.
All right, yeah.
More than one urinal.
Yeah.
And you have a door
trough.
In the stall.
No
Not
more
trough. Staring at each other.
No
this is
trough.
A big win.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than going into a visiting locker room, and all of a sudden there's a commode in the middle with no stall around it. Just
what if
in
you're
the,
a little pea shy?
In the middle.
You never
in the
know.
Middle of the floor.
That's terrible.
That's what we call bull in the ring. we have, remember Zach Martin? Remember Zach Martin told us the one redeeming quality of FedEx Field,
yeah.
AKA Feces Field in Washington,
stalls.
Was the stall locker
Massive,
room,
yeah.
Road locker
which
room.
Which ends up on the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of options
multiple,
to poop.
Yeah.
Whatever that configuration is there in that
Designed
locker room.
Designed by somebody from Paris.
Made Zach Martin feel pretty good. Yeah, yeah, that's true. And then finally here, I'll throw this out there. Mac Hollins, who's a friend of the Nosebleed Seats.
He is.
Good
no
dude.
Shoes Mac Hollins?
Now that guy's ripped.
No Shoes Mac. He is ripped.
Absolutely shredded.
He's built sort
He didn't eat vegetables,
he's
right?
Perfectly.
He's got to eat vegetables.
He says he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Mac Hollins?
That's the story. That's the story
no
here.
Shoes, no vegetables.
He is a no,
no
shoes
service.
No haircut guy.
Yeah. I remember when he joined us in the Nosebleed Seats a few years ago, he talked about how he didn't have a TV or a cell phone.
Yes.
And that was like the thing. But turns out he doesn't own shoes other than cleats. He doesn't wear shoes anywhere other than cleats on the football field, only because he has to. NFL rules. He doesn't eat vegetables, and he doesn't use utensils either. If you want to go over there and eat at his house, you're going to be eating with your bare hands. I'm not even for sure he's going to give you a plate.
Can I bring my own?
I think he'll probably be offended by that and not let you in. If you're like, hey, I got a fork in my pocket. Can I use it?
He'd
be like,
does he like
a, I kind of respect it, but how sure can you be of hand cleanliness? I mean, I'm a big believer in the human immune system, but I'm not intentionally like shaking people's hands and dapping up. And then
I hate to say
that's too much hand washing.
The dude doesn't look very clean. He's not a clean looking dude.
He's not a clean looking guy.
No, but he's not, I don't think that's his.
He's not going for that look. He's kind of, I don't think
he looks like he smells of the earth.
I think he doesn't bathe. No, no. I don't think he bathes all the time.
Yeah, he's like, I'll jump
rub a little dirt on me,
jump
guy.
In the pool, maybe.
Yeah.
Even the chlorine will wash the body off.
It's the natural oils that keep me clean. Mm. You know, you guys are actually getting dirtier in that shower.
Somewhere. That beef tallow. Yeah.
Exactly. Are you like jealous that we're talking about, like, that you would like to be like that?
I mean, I wouldn't. I couldn't go fully that way, but I do like.
You don't use utensils.
Like
what are you talking about?
Yeah, the utensils. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I do like wearing shoes on my feet from time to time.
And
you know
do love chopsticks, though. You're a big chopstick guy.
I like eating with my hands. I like that he doesn't eat vegetables.
I watched him eat the sushi the other day. Hands. It's hands.
Yeah,
all hands.
I would do it with a steak as well. Like that would
God.
Be no problem for me. But you can
might
tell,
be easier actually.
This guy's ripped up, man. He's doing his thing, and
he's got a ripped up T-shirts too.
To his credit, he is just an extreme. Like he's putting all this work in, dedicating. He's just a football guy, and he's about as average.
He got North Carolina?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do
Isn't
that.
Isn't there something about that steak, though, when you can get a thinly sliced piece?
He's North Carolina.
Just dab it, maybe a little steak sauce.
North Carolina.
That's better than just biting off a
chunk. He's doing the Viking way of eating things.
Looks like he's a Tar Heel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I can't tell if it's a great idea or uncivilized.
Did we say he went to North Carolina?
We give it a shot.
I think we did.
Okay.
Chapel Hill.
All right, we're live here. It is the G-Bag Nation live in Oxnard, California. The Expressway is coming up next. Our coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. And we're going commercial-free to the top with Rangers pregame in St. Louis coming up at 6 o'clock, and we're back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run! Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back of the Nation. Welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live in Oxnard. It's time to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top. And then Rangers pregame's coming up at 6. Matt Hicks is actually going to join us here in about 20 minutes or so. Talk about the trade deadline and everything going on here in the big leagues with his baseball team. This segment of the Nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Good Feet Stores, and it is brought to you by the on-time experts. It's been an eventful day for the Texas Rangers, as we expected, although they did not get their bat that many of us were anticipating. They did get a lefty reliever, and I believe he can help quite a bit. It's Andrew Chafin. They got him for Chase Lee, Joseph Montalvo, and they also DFA'd Jonathan Hernandez to make room for Chafin. But he has been outstanding. A 3.16 ERA this year, but he's only allowed one earned run in his last 17 innings of work. 26 strikeouts in 18 games since June 8th. He's been dominant, and he's virtually unhittable against lefties. I kind of feel like, Wolchuk, the pitching staff, a major strength for this team, and how would you rank this bullpen? Looking around the big leagues, it'd probably be hard to find one better.
Yeah, I mean, I still think you look at Houston in your own division, and I know Hader I think he gave up a save last night again, but they're probably sitting there with guys like Abreu. Hader still, I think, is somebody that's feared. But the Rangers, I mean, you talk about the difference a year makes.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Worst bullpen to ever make the playoffs.
Yeah, now all of a sudden it is. I mean, you're feeling pretty good about the arms that you have out there with Robertson, Yates. Now you add Chafin into the mix here. You're able to kind of match up the lefty-righty matchups, how Boach sees fit. The Lats has been able to give you some good innings here lately as well. And then, not to mention, you get a guy like DeGrom back. Maybe Malley comes in here, and then you're moving guys like Heaney and Gray into the bullpen as well. Cody Bradford can be thrown in there. So, yeah, you're feeling pretty good right now if you're the Rangers.
I think you got your bat and Josh Young. That's how they're probably looking at it. Like, okay, we're going to get a guy back that we feel like can hit and get him going. The bonus is going to be Josh Smith. You know, all of a sudden now you had questions about DH and, you know, that spot. And they really, you know, Jankowski, they've run through all these guys that feel like at DH. And now maybe Josh Smith could be that guy. And when Josh Smith has to play in the field, they've got a guy that not only have a bat in the lineup in the DH, but he can also go play in the field and then hit as well there. But they have to look at that Josh Young as, okay, here's our bat that we're adding. And now we got to make sure that our bullpen is where it needs to be, because with the way that the season's going for them, probably they're not scoring a lot of runs. If they do get a lead, they've got to find a way to hold on to that thing. And having a bullpen that could do that probably will be beneficial to them in the long run.
817, Chafin looks like a Ranger, doesn't he? LOL. He absolutely does.
Dude, the vibes are going to be immaculate with him.
Apparently he lives on a farm. You know, I just can't wait to hear my first interview with Chafin to see if, you know, the personality and the voice matches the description so far. 682, no bats, LOL, what a joke by Chris Young. Y'all really boosting these moves. Pitching wasn't the problem, it's hitting.
I
think what
Josh Young,
what Brian said is very accurate.
Yeah.
Josh Young's return. But I think, where do you improve First base, Nate Lowe's hitting 270.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to go out and find a catcher that's more of an offensive threat than Jonah Heim?
They did. Well, they didn't find one more of a threat as Jonah Heim, but they found one better than the one they had.
Yeah.
Kisner was a
great backup catcher hitting 240.
I'm sure CY was trying to add a bat. I think the price has just kind of got a little bit out of hand. I mean, Yandy Diaz was probably the name that they were looking at.
Well, they were looking at Bellinger and some other names, too. I mean, they were trying to add a bat.
Yeah, it's not like they probably weren't.
But maybe the price to get players was too high. And again, I'll stick to it. I just think it's going to be very difficult to find better players than the one you have and be like, oh, yeah, I'm sure this guy is going to hit better than – I mean, what? Your only real option was to move Langford to center field and take Tavares out. But then, now that opens up another ball of wax. Like, are you going to get more runs offensively than you're going to lose without a true center fielder and a guy who really isn't even equipped at this point in his career to dominate left field?
Yeah.
So we'll get our expert opinions on this coming up, Matt Hicks, about 10, 15 minutes or so. Will Chuck mentioned Yandy Diaz. The Mariners wanted him. The Astros wanted him. He stays put. So that is amazing. Josh Jung starting and playing third base tonight. He will be batting seventh. And Josh Smith still leading off. So that'll be interesting to see if maybe the return of Josh Jung and the lineup shift is exactly the catalyst that, you know, these guys need to start, you know, getting what they should. We don't need top three offense or number one offense, but somewhere around a top 10 offense right now would absolutely set this thing off. And I think you'd win the division, you know, going away by the time you get to the end of the season. DeGrom's bullpen today, it was apparently 45 electric pitches. And he said afterwards to reporters, at least Evan Grant, that he is confident he's going to pitch and contribute to the Rangers team this season. What do you think he can give the team, Woolchuck, when DeGrom comes back? Set expectations for us.
I mean, I think that you're looking at, I think it's fair to think, man, best pitcher in baseball. I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking at from DeGrom. I think that when you get into a series in the postseason, if you're throwing out DeGrom and Eovaldi, we saw them go through and navigate with Monty and Eovaldi a year ago. I think everybody in the American League is scared of you. So you're thinking four games out of seven that you're going to get started by those two. Hopefully you can make it in. You're playing with some house money right now. But I expect Jacob DeGrom, and I've said this all along, I understand he's coming back from a major injury in Tommy John. It's the second time he's done it. Came back from the first time, was really good. I think all indications, I have not heard a single negative thing about how this rehab's gone. I think DeGrom's going to be absolute money. Now, how long until he gets hurt again? I don't know. But I think when we see him, he's going to be really good.
I honestly think there's no pressure on him. If you want to be on, I mean, I just kind of look at, because Nate Eovaldi has done a pretty good job with what is he now, 9-5, 8-5, or 8-4, something like that. Yeah, Max Scherzer looks like he's coming back and giving you some quality starts, quality innings. You know, you could find a way to kind of get DeGrom back incorporated into the lineup, and then if you have to, juggle the pitching rotation from there. But there's no pressure on him. I mean, it's you've already got really an ace in Eovaldi, and then also with you know, with Max coming, you know. So I kind of feel like, though, that if they could just incorporate him, get where he's pitching, you know, five innings, then all of a sudden it's seven innings, then, you know, now you've got him to the point where he's comfortable and everything looks on course, then you just move the rotation around and put him where he needs to be. Or maybe the group is just continues on the way it is. And just, you know, you're getting quality starts from all those guys.
Man, if DeGrom can be the player that he was before the injury, I mean, even in those five or six starts for the Rangers, he was outstanding in the conversation for best pitcher. I would be shocked. But I would also, you know, be very optimistic about, you know, what this team could do in the playoffs. You know, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. I mean, I guess October would be 16 months out from his injury. And if anybody can do it, it's him. And shoot, you don't even have to get, when you throw that hard, you don't even have to get all the way back to be, you know, touching 98, 99 on the gun. Okay, it is list season in the NFL. And our first list story here, as our Cowboys training camp coverage continues, Deron Bland on the NFL Top 100 for the first time comes in hot at number 31. Congrats are definitely in order for our guy there. We had him on the show a couple of days back. Or was that yesterday? Had Deron Bland on the show yesterday. Has he peaked in these player rankings? Can Deron Bland do better than 31?
Man, that's
going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be super tough to be able to duplicate the amount of interceptions that he was able to have last year, because that's really what this is. This is all about you tallied up a ridiculous amount of interceptions, and you took plenty of them to the house, and being able to do that year in, year out. Like, turnovers in general are extremely volatile. We see that with defenses all the time. And maybe he's just a thoroughbred ball hawk, and that's just who he is. But even if it's, you know, if it's four or five interceptions, that's a really good year. And so I don't think you're getting higher than top 30. I mean, I was kind of surprised to see that he was this high, you know, to be honest with you.
I think he could get better.
Yeah, I think he can get better too. But
to me, there's with him, there's a couple of different ways you can go with him. And Zim really loves Jordan Lewis. But if there's a way, if all of a sudden that you start to see where Carson and others maybe step up and it allows Bland to play inside, I think he'll get even more recognition playing as a slot player. But he might not have the interceptions or the pick sixes, but as far as the passes broken up, the coverage skills, things like that that he's shown,
yeah,
I don't think he's done the pick sixes,
and I'm with you. Like, I think he's going to be a better player, but to me, like, if you're going just corner for corner, I think Patrick Surtain's a better corner than De'Ron Bland. Surtain was in the 60s on this list. Hmm. That's what's getting you on these NFL top 100s to be in the top 30s. It's the pick sixes. It's the, oh my gosh, the highlight reel plays, right? You can be a better all-around player. You're not going to be as high on the list. So I don't know that he's going to be higher than 31.
I don't know, man. I mean, it seems to be the players vote on this list. He might have a lot of wide receivers that he competed against last year that are saying, man, this guy can cover pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be about the pick sixes or about the interceptions. It's about, man, this guy could blanket me pretty well. Now, the Seattle game was a little rough.
Yeah.
But overall, I think there's a lot of wide receivers that he's covered are probably like, man, he's a tough guy to get away from.
Well, you know, in terms of giving you the mindset of the way that the coaches feel about it, I will say, like, when we got a chance to catch up with Mike Zimmer the other day, I asked him about De'Ron Bland, maybe – Do you see him as a nickel or whatever? And he didn't even realize that Bland had played nickel his rookie year.
Yeah.
Because last year he was a boundary guy, and he was so good on the boundary that you can easily forget that. Zimmer was like, oh, wait, he played nickel his
rookie
year?
I've only seen him on the boundary.
So and we know that De'Ron sat down with us the other day saying, like, he feels better on the boundary than he does as a nickel, because his rookie year was the first time he had ever played it. Now, he flourished, and he just hit the ground running, and I felt like was immediately one of the best nickel corners in the sport. And you got to think, a guy like that who's only playing that position for one season was just scratching the surface. So I could see the evolution of De'Ron Bland getting back into the nickel, just depending on the construction of the DB room on any given year. But Zimmer didn't even realize he had played nickel his rookie year.
Hell of a job by the Cowboys coaches, the front office. I mean, finding Diggs and Bland. We go with years where it was Byron Jones with zero and maybe Orlando Scandrick with one, and you'd be there in December. Your team had a collective two or three interceptions for the entire season. They made it a priority, and they just knocked it out of the park with, you know, finding guys that can not only see it but can go get it. So that's first story when it comes to the list. Second story, our guy Tim Kalishaw on the morning news with the headline, elite list the Cowboys once dominated are now proving to be impenetrable. Maybe a little bit of troll-like activity going on here with the Tim Kalishaw column, as, you know, he's prone to do. You know, but he's looking at that ESPN list, the top 25 players of the 21st century, the Cowboys with nobody on that list. How much of a red flag is that? Or is it a nothing burger? None of the top 25 players so far this century. That does hurt a little bit, Wolchuk. I can see your Cowboys heart hurting.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you win a Super Bowl, maybe you end up getting somebody on that list. But, I mean, they've had a lot of really good players. I mean, I think we've talked about the All-Pros and the Pro Bowls and the amount of players that have come through here, and they've left without any hardware. Like, Zach Martin's going to be a Hall of Famer. Tyron Smith's going to be a Hall of Famer. DeMarcus Ware's in the Hall of Fame, right? The list goes on. Jason Witten's going to be a Hall of Famer. So they've had tons of players that I think could be deserving of being in that top 25. But I think a lot of it's probably quarterbacks that have Super Bowl rings to their name.
Yeah, I think you'd have a hard time telling me there's better offensive linemen than Tyron and Zach this century.
Yeah,
but I wonder I got to look at the list. How many linemen are on that thing?
Yeah. I say, I would look at it like that's dang near a starting team, right? You got everybody on offense, everybody on defense, maybe a kicker and a punter. But maybe that's not how they did that list. Mike Zimmer doing media says he believes Micah Parsons could play every position on the field on defense. Are you buying or selling that, Broadus?
No, I think that Mike is looking for spots for him to play, and that's why you're starting to see, you know, before Sam Williams got hurt, you were seeing these edges that were flip-flopping in order to try and create some matchups. Zim's going to find ways to get him on your worst blockers on a weekly basis.
Aren't we just moving him around trying to get different angles to the quarterback?
Yeah, today,
for different gaps. We're not actually doing other jobs.
Yeah, you know, he played a little coverage of off-ball linebacker, but the majority of his day was spent rushing the passer off that right side.
Chief, what are you seeing?
You saw him drop into coverage. One of the best defensive plays of the day was an Eric Kendricks sack that was disguised well, where you thought Micah was coming off the edge, and instead he was dropping into coverage. Now, I'm a firm believer, and I don't really want a lot of Micah in coverage just because of how well he is at getting after the passer. And as you mentioned, no more Sam Williams. You need as many reinforcements coming after the passer. But to some extent, if you are going to be moving him around, then you feel like he's not a one-trick pony in terms of the skill set. So, but as soon as you see him get burnt in a pass coverage situation, you're going to be like, what are we doing here? Please get him after the quarterback.
I wonder how long it's going to be before we see maybe they try Overshown as a pass rusher.
He did a lot of that blitzing. He did a lot of blitzing.
I'm talking about how they do with Micah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'll say like him,
Texas.
Play him as like a stand up edge, or, you know, put his hand down and let him rush and see like what if Micah. They did the same thing with Micah, and then, you know, you have one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. Maybe Overshown's got that kind of that slinky, slippery kind of pass rush ability with a little bit more weight on his body.
Maybe
with that explosive.
Because he was in the backfield for the first two snaps.
He's got a feel.
He does. Yeah. He's got a feel for it.
I mean, Overshown, you guys studied him a heck of a lot more than I did, but Overshown as a blitzer in college
was real. He was a former safety.
I mean, he was a blitzing machine.
Hmm. Well, Parsons, you know, obviously a great athlete, a great pass rusher. I just think it's all really got to come from he's rushing the passer. Nope, now he's dropping in coverage. Mm-hmm. And you're really putting the quarterback and the offense in conflict as far as what's going on over there. Give them
the
something
Kendrick
to think about.
The Kendricks sack was all Micah Parsons.
Yeah, because now you don't know exactly where he's rushing from. We talked about that yesterday, and I thought he did a good job in coverage against Ferguson. By the way, 17 of the 25 players won a Super Bowl on that top 25 list.
Yeah,
so
that'll elevate you.
Yeah, it's like the J.J. Watt, Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss. Those are the ones that are on here. Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson. I don't know that you're putting a cowboy on
here. Very difficult list to crack. A difficult list to really conceptualize and stack, because there's way more than 25 elite players, you know, that would easily be able to, like, you take the first 25, that's fine. I'll take the next 25.
Sure.
We're going to have a hell of a game.
Yeah.
You ain't kicking my ass. Okay. What else is going on here in the world of sports? It is the G-Back Nation. The defending champion U.S. women lost to Germany 17-13 Tuesday in the opening game of 3-on-3 basketball at the Paris Olympics. Didn't even know this was a sport, but it is. And my gal Haley Van Lith led the U.S. with 6 points. She was struggling after the game, said she believes that heat exhaustion and an illness might have had something to do with it. She said she might have had the cold. Saying she played through it in the NCAA tournament. So there's nothing that's going to take. That's a long illness.
She's still dealing with it. Huh?
I'd maybe go hit up the doctor about that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like that's just a cold there, Haley.
Yeah.
Holy crap. We do have news on Evan Carter from Chris Young, who's talking to reporters. He could miss the rest of the regular season, according to Chris Young.
See why he tells he was shagging balls in the outfield the other day?
He was. And, you know, I asked him straight up, like, is this something that could continue for a while? Is this something that you're concerned with? He's like, oh, no, we're in good shape here with Evan Carter. So it must have been a sudden jolt of complications now that has thrown that back into question. That absolutely sucks, you know, when you're missing that amount of time. I imagine, you know, just a couple of months left in the season, that's either, you know, an operation or some very significant rehab that needs to take place. Did you say we have Matt Hicks? Okay, we'll get to Matt here in just a second. Want to salute the U.S. Women's Gymnastic Team as they got the dub. Gold medal there. Simone Biles blowing kisses to the crowd amidst chantings of USA, USA. So congrats to them. Tomorrow, when we, actually join the show. We're going to be at the tail end of USA versus South Sudan. And so that game gets underway tomorrow at 2 o'clock Texas time. They were 40-point favorites in the exhibition match, which they only won by 1 point because Sudan didn't make one of three shots they had to win it. Now they're down to 29-point favorites if you're looking to, you know, maybe get on some prize pick action or something like that.
Bennett Broaddus is all over that.
That's why he can't work here.
Right.
As Matt Hicks joins us now here with the Rangers pregame coming up at 6 o'clock, a very eventful day for the baseball club and a good afternoon. How you doing, Matt?
Good afternoon, fellas. I'm fine. Also ducking in watching the Olympics and the gymnastics for both the men and women when I get a chance to after games. And that's been really compelling. A lot of fun.
Yes, it is always exciting. It's amazing. I don't want to watch gymnastics in any other context, but there's something about it. It's probably the Mary Lou Retton fan in me from back in the day, 1984 Wheaties box. You know what I'm talking about, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. It's exciting stuff. That pommel horse guy, that was great stuff.
Dude, he put on a show. Okay, yep. Andrew Chafin, the new Rangers lefty reliever. What are we in for here with this guy?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question because the PA here is really loud. Do that again?
No, we're good. I was just asking you about the new bullpen piece that we got there.
Yeah, Andrew Chafin coming to the ball club. It's kind of funny because we got Carson Kelly, and I have him on our pregame show tonight just talking about a variety of things. But, you know, I asked him about Andrew and what can we expect. And one of the things he said was, you know, when you leave a really great teammate, you wonder when you're going to see him again. And for me, the answer was a day later. you know, and what he said about Andrew was he's got a great personality. We know that because a few years ago when Chafin was pitching in Oakland, one of the parts of his story was while he was pitching for the A's, he was living on a boat on some body of water there in the bay near Oakland. And he's a very unique guy. But from a standpoint of what can he bring to the ball club, he's a lefty who can get lefties out. Lefty hitters are hitting well below 200 against him this year. They're not really slugging at all. And he's been around for a long time. I think one of the reasons why CY went out and got a guy like Chafin, he's a veteran who's been through the grind. He's played for a number of clubs. Most of his time in the big leagues has been spent with the Diamondbacks. But, you know, he played for the Tigers here this year. He's played for the Cubs. That one season with Oakland, and he just knows how to get things done. A really good ERA this year of 3.16. It's a little bit lower than his career ERA of 3.4. But in Chafin, you're going to get a guy who is certainly, apparently, a very good teammate that a lot of guys like. He's going to be able to, you know, shore things up from getting lefties out.
So it seems like CY really likes the older guys in the bullpen. Is that just a coincidence or?
Well, when you think about it, we got a 40-year-old starting here today for the first time as a 40-year-old. But, yeah, I think that veteran presence is big in the clubhouse. Not that you want everybody to be a veteran, but, you know, when you're talking about the difference of an Andrew Chafin or a Jacob Latz who has, you know, pitched for the most part really well for the Rangers this year, and he's been the most often used reliever. But essentially, for Latz, this is his first full season in the big leagues. Versus a guy like, you know, Chafin, who's, you know, appeared in close to 500 innings of big league work. And so, you know, you're getting a guy that knows what he's doing and just adding to what is now a very veteran presence out of the bullpen.
The return of Josh Young is a big storyline for tonight, Hixie. Now, the Rangers did not acquire another bat today. Is there too much pressure being put on Josh Young to be the savior for this offense?
Gosh, I don't think he looks at it that way. In fact, the times that he's been with the club, when we've been at home or at times as he's continued to work his way back when we've been on the road, one of the senses that you get from Josh is he just wants to be on the field. And he wants it so badly. He's the first guy here at the field. I don't think that Josh is the kind of guy that will put that sort of pressure on himself. But just to be sure, Bruce Bochy has him hitting seventh in the lineup today. So, in other words, you know, if he had put him, you know, fourth or fifth in the lineup, perhaps that would have been a little bit of a signal that, hey, kid, you got to step right in and get the job done for us. But the fact that he's hitting seventh, he's hitting after Josh Lowe, or Nathaniel Lowe, Josh Lowe, everybody is named Josh on the team. He's hitting after Nathaniel Lowe, who's swinging the bat really well right now. And so you've got guys above him in the lineup that are doing well. Again, I don't think personally that Josh Young would put that sort of pressure on himself, but just to be sure, Boach has him hitting seventh here today. But he is such a – if I had to equate Josh to, let's say, a basketball player, he is your typical gym rat. He's a guy that shows up early. He takes as many shots as possible. He spends as much time on the court as possible. That's Josh Young in a baseball sense. He wants to swing the bat as much as he can. He wants to take as many ground balls as he can. He just wants to play. And I think for him, the freshness of being back with the big league club and having a chance to contribute is enough for him.
Matt Hicks is here with you. The Rangers preview is brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Do you imagine he would make his way into the top five of the order and Garcia gets moved out here before too long if Young comes in swinging a hot bat?
Well, one of the things that Bruce Bochy has shown, not just in his time here with Texas, but his time as a big league manager, he will definitely go with the hot hand, regardless of matchups or whatnot. Regardless of the right-left thing. And so if Josh hits the ground running like he did at the beginning of the season and starts to be productive from the seven spot, I would have absolutely no doubt that Boach would move him up. Now, Adolis has been swinging the bat better here of late over the last week, but, you know, we still aren't seeing the kind of production from Adolis that we saw all last year and certainly compared to what he did in the postseason. So, you know, the answer to that question is, yeah, if he's productive right away, we'll see him move.
Matt, what do you make of the lineup last night and today with Josh Smith leading off and Marcus Semien in the three hole? How did that feel and look to you last night? Do you expect to see more of that?
Well, again, going back to what Boach likes to do, it worked yesterday, so that's the lineup today. You know, Smith hitting leadoff and Semien hitting third. If it continues to be productive, that's what you'll see. You know, Josh got on board three times yesterday. His three times on base were two infield hits, and he got hit by a pitch, which, of course, he leads Major League Baseball in doing that. But that's his job as the leadoff hitter, right? Five times up, he's on board three times. Now, Marcus went 1-for-5 in the three hole. His one hit was a leadoff double, ironically. He led off the seventh inning. But, you know, Marcus has been consistently good with mid in scoring position this year. He's batting .329 in those situations coming into play here today. So as long as this particular combination is working, Boach is going to roll with it.
Hey, Hicksie, with the deadline now passing, is there kind of like a collective sigh of relief by everybody in the organization? Do they kind of just, okay, now everybody breathes and then we all go play baseball?
I think that's the case for CY for sure. Maybe he's going to get some sleep tonight.
Sure.
But when you you know, walk in through the clubhouse, you know, it doesn't seem like any of our guys are really on edge about things like this. You know, it's remarkable how even keel everyone is that puts the uniform on. Now, obviously, some players, you know, are concerned about, you know, the potential of, you know, maybe being optioned out or whatnot.
Sure.
Those kinds of things happen. And those guys that know they're in that situation, obviously you're feeling it a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, most of the guys, it's one of those situations where is there anything I can do about it? No. So I'm going to go about my business the way I normally do. And, you know, that's what we're observing in the clubhouse.
Did the Rangers do enough here at the deadline? We were, you know, talking about shortly after it passed, like, you know, how much of an opportunity did they have? And so that's what we don't know. But how much of a concern was it that they didn't help the offense more than the backup catcher?
You know, I don't know how much of a concern that was. We actually just got off of a Zoom with CY talking to members of the media about things happening here at the trade deadline. And that was one of the questions that he was asked about, you know, what was the market like for getting a bat? And while he said that the Rangers were certainly active in pursuing getting another bat to add to the lineup, that they felt like with Josh Young coming back and being in the lineup today and other players who have not performed to the level that they have throughout the course of their careers, he thinks that the addition of Josh plus other guys sort of, it was kind of a funny the way he put it, regressing to the positive, I guess, I think is how he said it. But in other words, getting back to the mean, getting back to where they normally are, is going to be enough to help carry this team. One of the things that T.Y. said was is that he thinks that this club's two best months of baseball are still ahead of them here. So I don't think that T.Y. is disappointed that they weren't able to land another bat. Given the market and given perhaps, obviously, he couldn't discuss, you know, what it was going to take to get another bat, but apparently this being a seller's market, the Rangers weren't willing to part with a number of prospects to get a bat that they would have felt like would have only perhaps incrementally, very small, incrementally improved the team offensively.
We only got a minute, Matt, but did you hear anything about the Chris Young fire and brimstone meeting he had with the team a month ago that the Buster only said on TV?
No, not really aware of anything regarding that. Haven't heard too much talk about it. You know, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. I don't know. But, you know, again, just when you see the guys in the clubhouse, they're the same every day. They're never too high. They're never too low. It really is remarkable, and it's been that way the entire time under Boach.
Love it, Hixie. Thank you so much for your insights. Have a great call tonight, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, Matt Hicks, here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Tomorrow's day baseball, first pitch at 1 o'clock. Thanks so much to Alec Medford filling in for Lucius there in the Pimp Cup. Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Ruben Portillo, remote engineering for Woolchuck and Schiafalo and Brian Broaddus. I'm Gavin Dawson. And until tomorrow after the Rangers game, you're going home with...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
On a weekly basis.
Aren't we just moving him around trying to get different angles to the quarterback, though?
Today,
looking for different gaps? We're not actually doing other jobs.
Yeah, well, you know, he played the little coverage of off-ball linebacker, but the majority of his day was spent rushing the passer off that right side.
Chief, what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, you saw him. You saw him drop into coverage. One of the best defensive plays of the day was an Eric Kendricks sack that was disguised well, where you thought Micah was coming off the edge, and instead he was dropping into coverage. Now, I'm a firm believer, and I don't really want a lot of Micah in coverage, just because of how well he is at getting after the passer. And as you mentioned, no more Sam Williams. You need as many reinforcements coming after the passer. But to some extent, if you are going to be moving him around, then you feel like he's not a one trick pony in terms of the skill set. So, but as soon as you see him get burnt in a pass coverage situation, you're going to be like, what are we doing here? Please get him after the quarterback.
I wonder how long it's going to be before we see maybe they try Overshown as a pass rusher.
He did a lot of that blitzing. He did a lot of blitzing.
I'm talking about how they do with Micah.
Yeah.
You know, also like him, play him as like a stand up edge, or, you know, put his hand down and let him rush and see, like, what if Micah. They did the same thing with Micah, and then, you know, you have one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. Maybe Overshown's got that kind of that slinky, slippery kind of pass rush ability with a little bit more weight on his body.
Maybe
with that explosive.
Because he was in the backfield for the first two snaps.
He was. He's got
a feel. He does. He's got a feel for it.
I mean, Overshown, you guys studied him a heck of a lot more than I did, but Overshown as a blitzer in college
was a former safety.
He was a blitzing machine.
Well, Parsons, you know, obviously a great athlete, a great pass rusher. I just think it's all really got to come from he's rushing the passer. Nope, now he's dropping in coverage. Mm-hmm. And you're really putting the quarterback and the offense in conflict as far as what's going on over there. Give them
the
something
Kendrick
to think about.
The Kendrick sack was all Micah Parsons.
Yeah, because now you don't know exactly where he's rushing from. We talked about that yesterday, and I thought he did a good job in coverage against Ferguson. By the way, 17 of the 25 players won a Super Bowl on that top 25 list.
Yeah,
so
that'll elevate you.
Yeah, it's like the J.J. Watt, Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss. Those are the ones that are on here. Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson. I don't know that you're putting a Cowboy on
here. Very difficult list to crack. A difficult list to really conceptualize and stack, because there's way more than 25 elite players, you know, that would easily be able to, like, you take the first 25, that's fine. I'll take the next 25. Sure. We're going to have a hell of a game. Yeah. You ain't kicking my ass. Okay. What else is going on here in the world of sports? It is the G-Back Nation. The defending champion U.S. women lost to Germany 17-13 Tuesday in the opening game of 3-on-3 basketball at the Paris Olympics. Didn't even know this was a sport, but it is. And my gal Haley Van Lith led the U.S. with 6 points. She was struggling after the game, said she believes that heat exhaustion and an illness might have had something to do with it. She said she might have had the cold. Saying she played through it in the NCAA tournament. So there's nothing that's going to take. That's a long illness.
She's still dealing with it.
I'd maybe go hit up the doctor about that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like that's just a cold there, Haley.
Yeah.
Holy crap. We do have news on Evan Carter from Chris Young, who's talking to reporters. He could miss the rest of the regular season, according to Chris Young.
See why he tells he was shagging balls in the outfield the other day?
He was. And, you know, I asked him straight up, like, is this something that could continue for a while? Is this something that you're concerned with? He's like, oh, no, we're in good shape here with Evan Carter. So it must have been a sudden jolt of complications now that has thrown that back into question. That absolutely sucks, you know, when you're missing that amount of time. I imagine, you know, just a couple of months left in the season, that's either, you know, an operation or some very significant rehab that needs to take place. Did you say we have Matt Hicks? Okay, we'll get to Matt here in just a second. Want to salute the U.S. Women's Gymnastic Team as they got the dub. Gold medal there. Simone Biles blowing kisses to the crowd amidst chantings of USA, USA. So congrats to them. Tomorrow, when we actually join the show, we're going to be at the tail end of USA versus South Sudan. So that game gets underway tomorrow at 2 o'clock Texas time. They were 40-point favorites in the exhibition match, which they only won by 1 point because Sudan didn't make one of 3 shots they had to win it. Now they're down to 29-point favorites if you're looking to, you know, maybe get on some prize pick action or something like that.
Bennett Broaddus is all over that.
That's why he can't work here.
Right.
As Matt Hicks joins us now here with the Rangers pregame coming up at 6 o'clock, a very eventful day for the baseball club, and a good afternoon. How you doing, Matt?
Good afternoon, fellas. I'm I'm fine. Also ducking in watching the Olympics and the gymnastics for both the men and women when I get a chance to after games. And that's been really compelling. A lot of fun.
Yes, it is always exciting. It's amazing. I don't want to watch gymnastics in any other context, but there's something about it. It's probably the Mary Lou Retton fan in me from back in the day, 1984 Wheaties box. You know what I'm talking about, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. It's exciting stuff. That pommel horse guy, that was great stuff.
Woo. Dude, he put on a show. Okay, yep. Andrew Chafin, the new Rangers lefty reliever. What are we in for here with this guy?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question because the PA here is really loud. Do that again?
No, we're good. I was just asking you about the new bullpen piece that we got there.
Yeah, Andrew Chafin coming to the ball club. It's kind of funny because we got Carson Kelly, and I have him on our pregame show tonight just talking about a variety of things. But, you know, I asked him about Andrew and what can we expect. And one of the things he said was, you know, when you leave a really great teammate, you wonder when you're going to see him again. And for me, the answer was a day later. you know, and what he said about Andrew was he's got a great personality. We know that because a few years ago when Chafin was pitching in Oakland, one of the parts of his story was while he was pitching for the A's, he was living on a boat on some body of water there in the bay near Oakland. And he's a very unique guy. But from a standpoint of what can he bring to the ball club, he's a lefty who can get lefties out. Lefty hitters are hitting well below 200 against him this year. They're not really slugging at all. And he's been around for a long time. I think one of the reasons why CY went out and got a guy like Chafin, he's a veteran who's been through the grind. He's played for a number of clubs. Most of his time in the big leagues has been spent with the Diamondbacks. But, you know, he played for the Tigers here this year. He's played for the Cubs that one season with Oakland, and he just knows how to get things done. A really good ERA this year of 3.16. It's a little bit lower than his career ERA of 3.4. But in Chafin, you're going to get a guy who is certainly, apparently, a very good teammate that a lot of guys like. He's going to be able to, you know, shore things up from getting lefties out.
So it seems like CY really likes the older guys in the bullpen. Is that just a coincidence?
Well, when you think about it, we got a 40-year-old starting here today for the first time as a 40-year-old. But, yeah, I think that veteran presence is big in the clubhouse. Not that you want everybody to be a veteran, but, you know, when you're talking about the difference of an Andrew Chafin or a Jacob Latz who has, you know, pitched for the most part really well for the Rangers this year, and he's been the most often used reliever. But essentially, for Latz, this is his first full season in the big leagues. Versus a guy like, you know, Chafin, who's, you know, appeared in close to 500 innings of big league work. And so, you know, you're getting a guy that knows what he's doing and just adding to what is now a very veteran presence out of the bullpen.
The return of Josh Young is a big storyline for tonight, Hixie. Now, the Rangers did not acquire another bat today. Is there too much pressure being put on Josh Young to be the savior for this offense?
Gosh, I don't think he looks at it that way. In fact, the times that he's been with the club, when we've been at home or at times as he's continued to work his way back when we've been on the road, one of the senses that you get from Josh is he just wants to be on the field. And he wants it so badly. He's the first guy here at the field. I don't think that Josh is the kind of guy that will put that sort of pressure on himself. But just to be sure, Bruce Bochy has him hitting seventh in the lineup today. So, in other words, you know, if he had put him, you know, fourth or fifth in the lineup, perhaps that would have been a little bit of a signal that, hey, kid, you got to step right in and get the job done for us. But the fact that he's hitting seventh, he's hitting after Josh Lowe, or Nathaniel Lowe, Josh Lowe, everybody is named Josh on the team. He's hitting after Nathaniel Lowe, who's swinging the bat really well right now. And so you've got guys above him in the lineup that are doing well. Again, I don't think personally that Josh Young would put that sort of pressure on himself, but just to be sure, Boch has him hitting seventh here today. But he is such a – if I had to equate Josh to, let's say, a basketball player, he is your typical gym rat. He's a guy that shows up early. He takes as many shots as possible. He spends as much time on the court as possible. That's Josh Jung in a baseball sense. He wants to swing the bat as much as he can. He wants to take as many ground balls as he can. He just wants to play. And I think for him, the freshness of being back with the big league club and having a chance to contribute is enough for him.
Matt Hicks is here with you. The Rangers preview is brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Do you imagine he would make his way into the top five of the order and Garcia gets moved out here before too long if Jung comes in swinging a hot bat?
Well, one of the things that Bruce Bochy has shown, not just in his time here with Texas, but his time as a big league manager, he will definitely go with the hot hand, regardless of matchups or whatnot. Regardless of the right-left thing. And so if Josh hits the ground running like he did at the beginning of the season and starts to be productive from the seventh spot, I would have absolutely no doubt that Boch would move him up. Now, Adolis has been swinging the bat better here of late over the last week, but, you know, we still aren't seeing the kind of production from Adolis that we saw all last year and certainly compared to what he did in the postseason. So, you know, the answer to that question is, yeah, if he's productive right away, we'll see him move.
Matt, what do you make of the lineup last night and today with Josh Smith leading off and Marcus Semien in the three hole? How did that feel and look to you last night? Do you expect to see more of that?
Well, again, going back to what Boch likes to do, it worked yesterday, so that's the lineup today. You know, Smith hitting leadoff and Semien hitting third. If it continues to be productive, that's what you'll see. You know, Josh got on board three times yesterday. His three times on base were two infield hits, and he got hit by a pitch, which, of course, he leads Major League Baseball in doing that. But that's his job as the leadoff hitter, right? Five times up, he's on board three times. Now, Marcus went 1-for-5 in the three hole. His one hit was a leadoff double, ironically. He led off the seventh inning. But, you know, Marcus has been consistently good with mid in scoring position this year. He's batting .329 in those situations coming into play here today. So as long as this particular combination is working, Boch is going to roll with it.
Hey, Hicksie, with the deadline now passing, is there kind of like a collective sigh of relief by everybody in the organization? Do they kind of just, okay, now everybody breathes and then we all go play baseball?
I think that's the case for CY for sure. Maybe he's going to get some sleep tonight.
Sure.
But when you you know, walk in through the clubhouse, you know, it doesn't seem like any of our guys are really on edge about things like this. You know, it's remarkable how even keel everyone is that puts the uniform on. Now, obviously, some players, you know, are concerned about, you know, the potential of, you know, maybe being optioned out or whatnot.
Sure.
Those kinds of things happen. And those guys that know they're in that situation obviously are feeling it a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, most of the guys, it's one of those situations where is there anything I can do about it? No. So I'm going to go about my business the way I normally do. And, you know, that's what we're observing in the clubhouse.
Did the Rangers do enough here at the deadline? We were, you know, talking about shortly after it passed, like, you know, how much of an opportunity did they have? And so that's what we don't know. But how much of a concern was it that they didn't help the offense more than the backup catcher?
You know, I don't know how much of a concern that was. We actually just got off of a Zoom with CY talking to members of the media about things happening here at the trade deadline. And that was one of the questions that he was asked about, you know, what was the market like for getting a bat? And while he said that the Rangers were certainly active in pursuing getting another bat to add to the lineup, that they felt like with Josh Jung coming back and being in the lineup today and other players who have not performed to the level that they have throughout the course of their careers, he thinks that the addition of Josh plus other guys sort of, it was kind of a funny the way he put it, regressing to the positive, I guess. I think is how he said it. But in other words, getting back to the mean, getting back to where they normally are is going to be enough to help carry this team. One of the things that CY said was is that he thinks that this club's two best months of baseball are still ahead of them here. So I don't think that CY is disappointed that they weren't able to land another bat. Given the market and given perhaps, obviously, he couldn't discuss, you know, what it was going to take to get another bat, but apparently this being a seller's market, the Rangers weren't willing to part with a number of prospects to get a bat that they would have felt like would have only perhaps incrementally, very small incrementally, improved the team offensively.
We only got a minute, Matt, but did you hear anything about the Chris Young fire and brimstone meeting he had with the team a month ago that the Buster only said on TV?
No, not really aware of anything regarding that. Haven't heard too much talk about it. You know, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. I don't know. But, you know, again, just when you see the guys in the clubhouse, they're the same every day. They're never too high. They're never too low. It really is remarkable, and it's been that way the entire time under Boach.
Love it. Hixey, thank you so much for your insights. Have a great call tonight, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, Matt Hicks, here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Tomorrow's Day Baseball, first pitch at 1 o'clock. Thanks so much to Alec Medford filling in for Lucius there in the Pimp Cup. Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Ruben Portillo, remote engineering for Woolchuck and Schiafalo and Brian brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson. And until tomorrow after the Rangers game, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.